when you're seeking for spiritual victory and power and dominion over the enemy. It is not something that is desired for alone, but it is fought for. We must learn as children of God to take a stand for what we know and believe. If you know it to be true, and it has been proven true to you, then it is something that you know will be there with you through everything that you face. We must learn to equip ourselves for the battles that we face today. I walk through so many trials right now that it seems like I just can't find a moment just to take a deep breath and gather myself for the next one. It seems like one thing after another has come to try and bring down the glory of God that is rising up in our life. And I praise God that He has not let me go. I thank Him that He's not dropped me off. I'm glad that He has not forgot about me. And I'm certainly thankful that every time that I finally make up my mind, He says, Jared, just come on. I've left your spot warm for you. Here it is. Just take your place and stand for me. And I stand for Him tonight, knowing that I'm not just going through the motions, I'm not just reading scripture, and I'm not here to entertain, but I'm taking my stand over the things that I'm going through in my life. The Lord has sent you a word. It has been confirmed to me through more than one witness of what I've heard or what I've read, and God wants to send you a word, and the word is, do not take the storm as an absence of God. For surely when we walk through these storms in the sensual part of the way we live, we can't see God. We can't feel Him sometimes when we feel bad. Our sensual feelings can't sometimes confirm what God is doing. But let me tell you about what God is showing me when I'm in the middle of life storms. He's teaching me that He has given me everything I need before I ever enter into any storm that I go through. So don't tell me that you're going through something that is impossible to God, for I know that He is my Creator. He is the one that has brought me here thus far. He has saved my life in a pit of destruction. I'm brought here and made new by the Spirit of God that keeps me in my life. Don't take your storm and say that God has left you. Don't take what you're walking through and say that God has let you down. It's real easy when the thunder begins to roll to begin to be afraid. And naturally our fear will present us to go into reasoning. Why is this happening? What is this for? How does this work for my purpose and my life? Did I deserve it? God, why are you doing it? Let me tell you, when we begin to enter into reasoning, it's dangerous ground to tread upon. Another thing I'm going to share with you, it's not easily swallowed, but if you will take this and chew on it, you'll grow up a little bit. You've got to learn that there are some things that you are meant to go through and not run away from. There are some storms that God has intended for you to walk through that you will gain strength from them, so that when you come through them, you are able to be equipped for the next thing ahead of you. If we do not overcome the storm we are in now, when the next one comes, we are not ready to face that trial, that situation, that thing that we're dealing with. And God has been teaching me that, Jared, if you cannot learn to overcome the things you face today, the things that you're praying for out in the future, you'll never reach, because you're not ready to receive them unless you come through the storm, unless you come through it as tried by fire, unless you come through it with the victory. I'm here to tell you that victory is not easily earned. It is fought for. I'm here tonight because I'm fighting through the midst of my storm. I'm letting God not bring me out of it in a way of escape, but I want Him to give me the faith to endure it and be able to survive. You can survive this thing. Who am I talking to tonight? You can survive this. This storm is meant for you to go through so that you can come through in victory. That when the next thing comes along your way, that God will be able to strengthen you with that through what you've already went through. We read in the 27th chapter of Acts, starting at the 27th verse. Go ahead and get there and I'll begin to read. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting and having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is your health, for there shall not be an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Hallelujah. Somebody say broken. When he broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all of good cheer, and they took of some meat. And we were in all the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they covered a certain creek with a shore, into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust into the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a piece where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. When we start out in the beginning of a storm, we're energetic and ready to take it on. We're praising God. We're having a good time, still able to dance a little bit, still able to have a good time, because within ourselves we feel strengthened for the task at hand. But then a few days begin to roll on in this thing that we're facing. That same zeal that we started out with in the beginning, all the passion that we had to worship God, begins to be used to try to be patient in the storm that's raging about us. Over time, our patience begins to wear a little bit thin, because in our heart we begin to be fearful of what outcome shall be before us when it happens. And our fear begins to turn into frustration. We begin to question things. We begin to try to find reasoning in things. And when we don't understand the answer, we begin to be frustrated to not find a reason. And then we begin to believe that it's not in our purpose and in our path to go through this. And we begin to try to blame people or situation or circumstance, and try to do anything to avoid what is the unavoidable that is to come. And as we go through this thing, by the time that we get through the middle of the storm, we're already kicking and screaming. We're already upset. We can't even come in and enjoy our walk with God. Our prayers have already dried up. The Bible's sitting on the table. We don't seek counsel from anybody. We begin to think, well, I'm just going to have to get tough about this and go through this on my own. As you begin to try to go about it on your own, you begin to see all the weaknesses of who you are instead of who God is through you, and begin to come short in things. You'll say something you shouldn't have. You'll do something that you shouldn't have done. You
you'll disobey God when he calls on you to move and to be obedient unto him. When the Spirit wants to bless you, you quench the spirit that's moving. When God begins to speak to you, to speak to somebody else, you just turn it away and say, Lord, you just use somebody else. A song will come on your heart and you'll let that moment pass you by because you're afraid that you'll be in the way. You're afraid that somebody will not enjoy it. Somebody won't support you. That the people won't get behind what you're doing. And by the time that you get to this point, bitterness has already set into your heart. You've already wrote everybody off. You've already wrote off all the help that was there to help you. The people that say they love you, you turn them away because you don't think they're really there for you. The people that are trying to reach out to you, you think that they are against you because you're in the middle of a trial and it seems easy outside looking in for somebody to come by and try to lend a hand. But your bitterness, frustration, and anger and fears and worries are setting in deep in your heart. And by this point, the storm has absolutely tore you all to pieces and there's absolutely no way through what you're walking through. There's no other way to do it on your own. Then there comes a point where there has to be something within you that goes beyond who you are, that goes beyond what you're able to do. And I'm telling you, for those of us that know God, who know his spirit, there comes a point when you're going to have to stop trying to do it on your own, when you're going to have to stop trying to fight these battles all by yourself. There's going to have to come a point where you're going to draw a line in the sand in your heart and you're going to have to say, God, I believe what you promised me before I ever went through the storm. And God, I believe that what you have spoken to me is true, no matter if I can't see it, if I can't feel it, when the ship is beat up, when the ship is torn. God, I need to get through this thing. God, I can't survive unless you're with me. If we learn to trust with God as we're going through the things we're going through, you will survive. We walk in a world of bitter Christians that didn't survive a storm. They're bitter. They're upset. They put the blame on preacher, saying it's their fault that they didn't give them the word. They'll blame it on a prophet when they just tried to share something that's on their heart with them. They'll blame the singers because they're not singing the right style that they want to sing to hear it. They don't hear their song, or not everybody gets up when you're singing, or not everybody claps their hands when you testify. And it just seems like that everything is working against you, so you just try to throw out blame somewhere instead of trying to just own up to the storm that you're facing and just buckle down and let God bring you through. There's one thing that you can write this down. You can take it with you. Put it in your heart. God never puts you through a storm until he has given you what you need to be prepared to go through the storm. There's nothing that you ever go through that you don't already have enough of God within you, that if you would draw from the strength of what he's already done, that you'd be able to survive. Paul knew that he was going to come through it, but he didn't know whether the ship was going to be together or not. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we look at our ship, we want it all to be intact when we get over there to the other side, when we come through the victory. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, sometimes we're more concerned about the boat instead of being able to survive. We want everything to be in line. We want our cars to always be running, the oil to never be changed, the gas always to be full, all the payments to be paid. We want everything to be working in line for our life before we'll say that we've made it through a storm. But you can't base it on the boat to say that you made it. You can't base it on the things that go wrong that say that you made it. For if God gave you a promise and he gave you the word, then that is what you will need in order to survive. They had to eat to have strength to swim. How many of you know that you've sometimes got to get your arms moving and you've got to begin to start fighting for your life? Sometimes you've got to draw a line, no matter how bad a service will turn out, to say, God, everybody else might not want to swim, but God, I don't want to drown. So tonight I'm not drowning. I'm swimming with all that is within me. I don't feel the best right now, and I wish that God would have moved on somebody. But surely the Lord has a reason for all things. And tonight I'm swimming. I'm going to make it to shore, even if I lose it all. You can take the car away. That won't change who you are. You can take away your job. That doesn't change who you are. You can take away your income. That doesn't change who you are. You can take away the instruments. Somebody, hear this. You can take away the building, but that does not define who you are. If you know God's word and it's been implanted in you, if you've been forgiven of your sin, then you have what you need to survive. If they had stayed in the boat and not been willing to swim in on broken pieces, they would have died. When I was brought forth into this world, I was pure and perfect. I might not have looked perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But when God formed us and brought us into the world, we were without sin. We knew no wrong. There was nothing that we knew of. We had no knowledge or accountability of our actions. If you messed on yourself, they changed you, you moved on. There was no accountability. Then as we become older and we begin to make our own decisions, sometimes they weren't the best ones. Who will be willing to admit that we've made some bad decisions? There's been some times I've made bad decisions, and before I ever knew God in a mighty way, I'd made so many bad choices. And that perfection that I was once formed as began to find little cracks in it here and there. But I began to realize that in the creation of man and through the downfall of accepting the fruit of the tree of knowledge, we then became accountable for our actions. And sin began to be as cracks upon our vase, if you will. And I realize now that the thing that I used to be is broken and it's torn, and I failed. I've came short so much. I've made so many mistakes. And all that I have left is a few broken pieces. But you see, God saw a way to take my brokenness and find a way for me to survive. Had I continued in my own way of living in sin, I would have never made it out of the boat. God saw a purpose for every person. You see, everybody surviving on the boat is his plan of salvation to save you in brokenness. They could have sat on that boat and not heard the word that God had sent through Paul. And sometimes we come to church and we hear our answer, yet we'll turn it away and begin to drown in the storm. But God has sent a word for those that are under the sound of my voice, that if you'll just be willing to grab one of those broken pieces of your life and let God begin to take control, you will survive this storm. I know I'm not perfect, and I know I make mistakes, and I come short all the time, but day by day, God takes my broken pieces and he finds a way for me to be loved, and he finds a way for me to survive. And it's through his word that I'm able to survive. You might not see much here tonight, and you might not have thought that you had felt much tonight, but I'm telling you, if you don't look down and see the broken pieces that God has in your life that he is in control of, he cares about your problems and he cares about your situation. I feel this with all that's in me. There is not a storm that God has not been there for you in. You might have felt like everybody had left you behind, but surely the Lord was with you in your storm. I'm just beginning to realize how much that he loves me. Not in the good times that I get to shout and run the pews, not in the times where when I get to preach and it's fun, but in the times of trouble, I realize just who God is. I know how real that he is. As he gives us his word and his promise, we have what we need to survive. God didn't promise you anything obvious. I wouldn't promise my wife that I would continue to be male. It's obvious that I'm male. And I wouldn't promise my mother that I'll be her son. I'm already her son. It's an obvious promise. We make promises to the things that we can't always guarantee. When you take your vows of marriage, you say to your wife, I'll be there for you in good times and in the bad times, in sickness and in health, through your ups and downs. You're making a promise to the things that aren't obvious, that you can always guarantee will be great. The Bible doesn't guarantee that everything that you face is going to be easy. But you know what we have? The promises of when we're in times of trouble. A promise of the Bible says that he is a present help in a time of trouble. I know this is going to sound funny to some of you, but if you really want to know just how real God is, you get in trouble. And you tell me when you come through that thing, if you know how real that God is. I know how real he is because he has delivered me from drugs. He delivered me from alcohol. He delivered me from tobacco. He's delivered me from the lust of many things that I used to be bound to. But he has delivered me and he's made me a new creature. And I would have never known how real he was if I just said I believe in Jesus Christ that died for my sins. I wouldn't have such passion to know how real he was unless I'd went through some hard times. And if you want to know how real that he is through the thing you're going through right now, if you will trust him and let him bring you through this storm, you will realize the promise of his word. You're not going to be able to raise your kids on your own. You're not going to be able to be the greatest parent on your own. But I'll tell you, if you'll believe in his promises that says if you'll train them up in the way that they will go and they will not depart from it. It might not look glamorous sometimes when they fail, but if you'll trust in his word, he will bring them through. You might not even see it. You might be on your deathbed when you hear they get saved, but I'm telling you, you will see them saved if you will continue to instill in them the great things that how real and how good that God has been to you. You know, I was reading about some studies that was talking about for the elderly that if there's anything or anyone living in the home, they survive longer, even by years, whether it's their companion or a friend or a house sitter, or if they have a pet cat, if they have a dog, if they have something living in the home, they say that years can be added onto their life. So if Pretty Kitty can bring us happiness to the point that it adds years on our life, how much more is the presence of God effective unto us? If the presence of people can add that much life unto you, how much more can the presence of God be for you? I didn't come to preach things that I know. I'm preaching on the things that I don't always have the answers for. I don't always know how it's going to turn out. I can't guarantee how people are going to act towards me. I can't promise that everything that I'll ever do for you is going to be great. I can't promise all the things that you're going through right now are going to have a great outcome. But we can't base it on the boat. But we have to learn that even if we come through with just the clothes on our back, if we survive and are still of sound mind, I would rather have that peace of God and lose everything else in my life than to drive around in a great car and have a nice home and a great job and lay my head down at night and be utterly miserable. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm telling you right now, God sent this for you. What you're walking through is something that you can make it through. You need to look over at somebody and say, you're going to make it. Come on, look at somebody and say, you're going to make it. That's what Paul was doing. He didn't have anybody backing him up and being like, yeah, I heard the same thing you heard. He just stepped out in faith and said, if we will all endure and not get off the ship right now, then we're going to make it through this thing together. And think about that. He was a prisoner in bondage and had no reason to try to preserve the lives of those that were binding him. If your son or daughter stood in need of prayer and they came running to this altar, you would find yourself with them. If you had a heart at all, you would find yourself by their side and you would do everything that you knew to do to help them. When our enemy comes to afflict us and they come and hit the altar, do we find ourselves with the same compassion to fall on our face and love them? I find that the greatest miracles that God brought to pass was always given to people that were in a storm. Jonah didn't have it easy. Moses didn't walk down an easy road. Elijah didn't have everything perfectly laid out on a red carpet for him to walk through.
Paul certainly didn't have it made easy either. John didn't walk through an easy road. Can you imagine being the man that confirmed that Jesus was the Messiah? He was one of the most looked upon people in that time. To some, he was just a crazy man in the river saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then all of a sudden just spoke out openly, "Behold the Lamb." Every time that you're going to come through and find something great, you have got to learn that it will never be easy. For the greatest miracles are for those that will be willing to survive. You might not have all the loved ones you started with when you get to the end. You might not have all the money that you had planned on having when you retire. And you might not have all the possessions that you tried to pay off. You may have to get some repoed. You might have to take some of it back because you can't afford it. But that is not an indicator of how God loves you. You might lose your car. You might have to go buy some hunk of junk just to get by. But that is not an indicator of how great that God is to you. Your loved ones may be rebelling as hard as they know how to rebel. But that is not an indicator for how that God is moving in their life. For if he can find somebody that will be willing to endure the storm. You see, many are called to go through this storm, but only a few will make the choice to go through it. Many disciples went on the path. Many of them turned away because the storm was too hard. Many people quit church because the storm's too hard. They blame God. They blame the devil. They blame their brother. They blame their sister. But if you'll be willing to suffer a little while, there's going to be a crown of life for you one day. You might not even get to reap it in this world, but I'm telling you, there's a mansion up in heaven being prepared for me.
David didn't have it easy. Job didn't have it easy. Somebody point out somebody in the Bible to me that didn't have to go through a hard road before they found their blessing. Somebody help me understand where the Bible says that we're going to have through great seasons without a little bit of something to come up. The Bible even says, talking concerning storms, that it will rain upon you who is living righteously, and it will rain upon those that do not live right. So there's equal suffering for everyone. It's not just for those that live right to get the great things. Have you ever wondered how somebody living in sin can make more money than you sometimes? Have you ever wondered why somebody got the promotion when you worked harder than them? Sometimes when we'll get things without God, we'll lose it all. I'm trying to open up your understanding. We have got to stop looking at the storm as something that we've got to get away from. And we have got to learn to start taking all the hard times we're presented as an opportunity for something to come through. Hallelujah. I find it no coincidence that the very byproduct of the storm is rain. The very byproduct of the rain becomes the water that we know as our oceans. And I find it no coincidence that a baptism is going into the water that is the byproduct of a storm. Hallelujah. Going in the same water that once persecuted you. You go under and you come out a different creature, because how many of you know it's not in the water, but it's in what you are forgiven of, and it's what you are brought through, and it's what God has given you the strength to overcome as you know him and will walk with him.
The same substance that in a physical sense aggravates us when we drive. You don't catch yourself out in the rain without an umbrella. But consider with me, when you look at the fields of grass, the plants of the earth, the trees that grow, beauty of what we know as this earth, there's a substance that has to be poured out into it for it to grow. And we bask in the byproduct of what water will produce, such is the same of the storm that is poured out upon you. You will find growth in a storm. I never really thought about it until God was giving it to me. But can you imagine the grass growing in a storm that you're running from? The trees are still growing. Whether it's rain or shine, life is still going to continue, whether it's daylight or darkness for you. I want you to begin to embrace what you're walking through as an opportunity to grow, and not take everything that's hard for you as something that you beg God to get you out of. I don't want God to get me out of everything. I want to survive some things. You hardly hear testimonies anymore Because you won't find very many people that'll be willing to survive till the end.
Well, brother, how you doing, eh? I quit that job. I just couldn't handle it any longer.
All the while, your promotion was probably just a few days away.
And for some of us, not everybody's went through enough yet. Because when you finally go through enough, you begin to understand the purpose of God for you.